We're going to turn this evening to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20, where it says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory." One of the most delightful spots in my native county of Norfolk is by the River Bure, near Wroxham, in the heart of the Norfolk Broads. It is an idyllic place. Ducks and swans and moorhens and kingfishers, sailing boats gliding by, a windmill or two on the horizon, the thatched inn across the river, and the old chain ferry, which you can use to pull yourself across the river. It's a scene which is often pictured in books and on postcards. So beautiful, so tranquil, so wonderful. But for me, it's also a very moving place. It reminds me of my past. When I was a teenager, the gang I was in used to park our cars or motorbikes on the other side of the river. We would pile into the ferry boat, terrify the holidaymakers there on the Broads, drink too much in the pub across the river, have a fight or two, and then go back across the river and drive like lunatics back home. All that and much more comes back to me when I see a picture of that scene in my native Norfolk. And I come to think how good God has been to save a wretch like me. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it unbelievable that such a wretch is now a Christian and a preacher of the gospel? How wonderful our Savior is. Fancy saving people like that. I deserve to have been written off, condemned forever. There by the riverside, with all the reeds and bulrushes, some of which have been battered by the strong winds blowing across the Norfolk countryside, that reminds me of a verse in the Bible. It's mentioned twice in the Bible. It's in Isaiah 42, verse 3, where God promises the Messiah, but then Matthew quotes it in Matthew 12, verse 20, to underline how kind and gracious and tender Jesus is. He had just seen Jesus helping a poor man in the synagogue who had a withered, paralyzed hand. How compassionate Jesus was in his dealings with people like that. So different from the Pharisees, who were callous and cruel and rigid and legalistic. Then Matthew tells us how after he had healed that people and many others in a miraculous way, he urged the people not to say too much about it, not to tell all and sundry about the miracles that he had done. Our Lord Jesus Christ was very humble. He didn't want people to make a big fuss about his healing miracles. When Matthew saw how kind the Lord Jesus was in the way in which he helped this man with a withered hand, and when he saw how humble and lowly Jesus was after all those miracles, he was reminded of that statement in Isaiah about the bruised reed he will not break and the smoldering wick he will not quench. Matthew says, in effect, Isaiah predicted and prophesied that the Messiah, the Lord, would be humble and lowly and tender and compassionate toward needy people. And that's how he is. I've seen him being so gracious and kind to that man with a withered hand, as opposed to the callous nature of the Pharisees. That's how Matthew came to quote this verse from Isaiah. There are poor men and women like bruised and battered reeds by the riverside after a storm, but he will not break them. There are poor souls whose lives are like smoldering, guttering oil lamps, but he'll not snuff them out. He is so kind and so gracious. Now, it seems to me that there are three kinds of people, generally speaking, for whom this statement is very appropriate. Three classes of people who may well be described as bruised reeds or smoking candles. Three classes of people who may well be here this evening. Three kinds of people, I trust, who will find help from this passage. First of all, there are some men and women who are burdened with a sense of guilt and sin and failure. They've fallen into some sin, or they've lived very rebellious lives against God, and they've come to see it. Their consciences trouble them and distress them. They are like bruised, battered reeds by the riverside, heads hanging down with shame and guilt. Now, let's be clear, there are not too many people like that. There are not nearly enough people like that. There are many people, the vast majority, who hold their heads high and proudly assert that they're okay, that they've never sinned, and that all is well with them. They're rather self-righteous and think that everything's wonderful. If they believe in God at all, they believe that he's well pleased with them and will be there to let them into heaven when they die. No questions asked. They just will not face up to the fact that they are sinners against Almighty God. I remember in my first church, a woman asked to see me. She almost summoned me to go and see her. And so I went to see her. And she said to me, I want to tell you two things. First of all, your preaching is terrible. You go on and on about sin, 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 sin. I want you to know, secondly, that I'm not a sinner. Your preaching is terrible, but I am not a sinner. I am not a sinner. So I said to the dear soul, you've just told me something about myself I already knew, that I'm a dreadful preacher. I knew that. But you've also told me something about yourself. You've just told me that although you've been coming to church for years, you're not a Christian. That made her even more livid. But you see, she felt, I'm not a sinner. There is no sense of hanging her head in shame. I'm not a sinner. God let me into heaven. No questions asked. No problem at all. Well, there are too many people like that. But there are people who are bruised because they've seen their sin. They're hanging their heads in shame like a broken reed. And this passage is for them. If you've never been concerned about the way you've ignored God, if you've never been concerned about your sins against God, if you've never been concerned about the way you've broken his law, this verse hasn't got much to say to you. But if you've seen yourself as a poor sinner, if you look back on your past with a sense of shame, this verse is wonderful. The Lord Jesus Christ will not break the bruised reed. He will not crush you. You feel a sense of shame. You feel a terrible failure. But he will not crush you. He'll be merciful to you and help you. He's ready and willing and anxious to forgive you and straighten out your life. He is so kind, so tender, not like those Pharisees, but a heart full of warmth towards poor lost sinners. He knows the sins you've done. He knows all about your past. He knows more about your past than you know. He knows all about that. But if you realize you're a sinner and guilty, he's willing to restore you. He'll not break you. He'll not condemn you. He's willing to restore you. He'll not trample you into the mire. Some people walking along by the riverside, when they saw a broken down reed, they would trample on it, trample it further into the mire. But the Lord Jesus Christ will not treat you like that. He is so kind and so gracious. Now, there are many examples of this in the New Testament. Take that poor woman mentioned in John's Gospel, chapter 6. That woman caught in the act of adultery. The Pharisees and scribes were all for stoning her. No mention, by the way, of the man with whom she committed adultery. He was going to get away scot-free. But the scribes and Pharisees were all for stoning her. But our Lord Jesus Christ showed compassion, did all he could to help that poor woman. He didn't condone her sin. He hated her sin, but he loved the needy sinner. Psalm 103 puts it so well. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. And he's still the same today. My dear friend, if you come here this evening feeling bruised and battered and flattened, if you come here this evening with awful feelings of guilt because of something you've done in your past or even done this last week, if you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in all your need and ask him to help you, he'll not cast you aside. He'll not trample you down. He'll be merciful and gracious to you. You see, he's just like God the Father. He has the same nature as God the Father. He's one with God the Father. He has the same love, the same compassion. You remember the story of the prodigal son? He grabbed all the money he could from his father and had cleared off to a distant country. And there he'd squandered, wasted all that money in riotous living, doing abominable things. Then he fell on hard times, desperate for a job, couldn't find a job. So he had to do something that no self-respecting Jew would ever do. He went and fed pigs to earn some money. And he was so hungry, he would gladly have eaten the pigs' food. He was desperate. And in his desperation, he thought, well, I'll go back home to my father. And I'll say to my father, look, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. I'll just be a servant for you, just to earn some money. So he made his way home. But his father was looking out for him, saw him in the distance, and was delighted, and ran, and embraced his son, and kissed him, and said, welcome back. My son, who I thought is dead, is alive again. And the father had mercy on his son and restored him and blessed him in a wonderful way. And the Lord Jesus Christ is just like God the Father. If he sees you concerned about your sin, if he sees you anxious to get right with God, he will, as it were, run to you and welcome you and save you if you trust in him. There's a hymn which says, come to the Saviour now, he gently calleth thee. In true repentance bow, before him bend the knee. No vain excuses frame, for feelings do not stay. None who to Jesus came were ever turned away. No needy, broken person who ever turned to the Lord Jesus Christ was ever turned away. Come to him now. You see, the last clause of this verse is very important. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory. It tells us that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will come again and judge this world with absolute justice. One day he'll come again as judge, and justice will be victorious. He'll deal with men and women as they justly deserve. And when that happens, the day of grace will be over. The day of grace will be over. There'll be no more opportunity to turn to him. There'll be no opportunity to plead to him for help. But until that time, says this verse, until that time, the bruised reed he will not break, the smoking flax he will not quench. So while the day of grace lasts, the Lord Jesus Christ will receive you if you're concerned about your sin and your wrongdoing. Of course, the only reason why he's able to do that is because he came into this world and died upon the cross. And when he died upon the cross, he took upon himself the punishment of sin. He endured it in our place. All the sin that weighs us down was laid upon him. The Bible says he was made to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, he was made to be sin for us. All our sin and guilt was laid upon him. And he bore the punishment of it there upon the cross. Because of that, and only because of that, he can forgive us when we come to him. The only reason why he cannot break the bruised reed, the only reason why he can restore people like that, is because he dealt with their sin when he died upon the cross. So that's the first class of people who can find help from this wonderful verse. Those who come to see their sin and their guilt, and in a sense are hanging their heads in shame like a broken reed. He'll receive you, my friend. He'll restore you. He'll forgive you. He'll save you. Many of us here this evening can testify to that. Once our lives were in a mess. A dreadful, dreadful mess. But we came to see our sin. Someone preached the gospel to us. We came to see our sin and how wretched it was. And we turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonder of wonders. He didn't turn us away. He welcomed us and forgave us and made us children of God. Let me tell you of a second group of people who could be described as bruised reeds. Not only those who feel themselves and know themselves to be guilty sinners, but Christians who are facing trials and tribulations. We all know Christians like that, don't we? Facing great trials and tribulation. What a hard time they're having. Trials and sorrows are coming thick and fast. They're like poor bruised reeds after a violent storm, dejected and downcast, weary and worn, hard-pressed and heavy-laden. Well, this statement is for them as well. Maybe there's someone here like that this evening. What a terrible time you're having just now. Lockdown has been a terrible time for some Christians. They've had sorrow upon sorrow, illness upon illness, trial upon trial, and it's been a very, very difficult time for them. And they come here this evening, maybe, almost at breaking point. And this word of scripture, my friend, is for you, if you're like that. The bruised reed he will not break. He will not allow these trials to crush you. and defeat you. He will not allow that. He loves you. You're one of his people. He is sending this trial into your life for a purpose. Maybe to make you better able to sympathize with others who are going through trials. Maybe he's sending this trial for your good, but he won't allow you to be broken by it. He's merciful and kind. There's a similar statement in 1 Corinthians 10, which says this, God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted and tried beyond what you're able to bear, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's a great promise. You're facing some great trial, some great temptation, and it's very, very difficult. But God will not allow you to be tested beyond your means. He'll give some way of escape. He'll see you through the trial. He'll use it for some good purpose. If you trust him, he'll uphold you and support you and strengthen you. That's the testimony of many, many Christians. There are Christians here, I'm sure. You've had difficult times in your life when the trials and difficulties have been immense, almost overwhelming, and you've almost snapped. But God has been good. He's upheld you. You haven't been allowed to be broken by them. He's helped you and given you strength. When troubles like a stormy cloud have gathered thick and thundered loud, he, by my soul, has always stood. His loving kindness, how good. Though numerous hosts of mighty foes, though earth and hell my way oppose, he safely leads my soul along. His loving kindness, oh how strong. My friend, if you feel yourself at breaking point because of all your troubles, don't give up. Don't despair. He won't crush you. In fact, he's using these trials to bring about his purposes in your life. Remember that famous illustration by Billy Graham. Some masonry work was being done on a church steeple, but the stonemason sat on the ground in the church car park, chipping away at a bit of stone. When he was asked what he was doing, he pointed to the church steeple, then he pointed to the piece of stone in front of him, and he replied, I'm shaping this down here to fit in up there. I'm shaping this bit of stone down here to fit up there in the church steeple. And that's a perfect picture of what the Lord is doing by these trials and tribulations which come to us. They haven't come to break us. He's shaping us down here to fit in up there in glory. They're for our ultimate good. The bruised reed he will not break. Whether we're talking about a poor man or woman who's come to see their sin and they're hanging their heads in shame, or whether we're talking about a Christian who's going through terrible, terrible trials, the bruised reed he will not break. So we mentioned the third kind of people who are included in this text and should get great comfort from it. Convicted and contrite sinners, tried and troubled saints, dismal and declining backsliders. Dismal and declining backsliders. Matthew, quoting Isaiah, says, the smoldering wick he will not quench. The picture is of an eastern lamp with a piece of flax for a wick, an oil lamp which has almost gone out. At one time the wick was burning brightly, giving light to everyone in the house. But now the wick is just smoldering. The oil has just about run out. And so the wick is burning up. That's the picture that Isaiah has in mind and which Matthew has in mind. What a perfect picture of the backslider. Here's a man or woman. Once upon a time, they were on fire for the Lord. Once upon a time, their light was burning brightly. Everybody could see that they were a Christian. Everybody could see that they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. But sadly, something gone wrong. And the light has almost gone out. The wick is just glimmering, but smoldering. Is there anyone like that here, I wonder? How zealous you used to be for the Lord. How brightly your light once shone for the gospel. Men and women, people at school could see that you were a true believer. But now, the light has almost gone out. And it's hard to tell, really, whether you're a Christian or not. But the smoldering wick, says this verse, the Lord will not quench. Very often the backslider, when he or she comes to their senses, gets quite fearful. They fear there's no hope of ever getting back to where they were. They fear there's no hope of their light shining brightly again. They fear that the Lord will let them go, write them off, snuff them out. But this verse says the exact opposite. The smoking flax, the smoking wick, he will not quench. One version says he will not snuff out. He won't do what some people do. I used to stay in my days at school, on the school holidays, on a farm in Norfolk to earn some money. And I used to go and stay on this farm and do some work. But the farm had no electricity. So we were dependent in the house for oil lamps, upon oil lamps. And there was an oil lamp in the kitchen. I remember it. It was smoking away. The kitchen ceiling was blackened. And the farmer's wife suddenly said one night, I'm sick and tired of the smoking oil lamp. I'm going to throw it away. And she did that, and went to market the next day and bought another lamp. Some people fear that if they're a smoking lamp as far as the gospel is concerned, if they're a backslider, the Lord will throw them away. But he won't. The smoking flax, he will not quench. He will not throw it away. He'll not snuff it out. But he will restore it. If we're in that position, well, let's turn to him. Ask him to help us. Tell him how you feel. Tell him that you're ashamed now, that your light once shone brightly, and people could see that you were Christian, and you were a great witness for the gospel. But now something's gone wrong, and it's hard to tell that you're a Christian believer. Admit that to the Lord, and plead with him, not to snuff you out, but to restore you, and kindle the light again, so that you'll burn brightly once more. That can happen. I remember one man, a young man, took his wedding service. And he was a good preacher. It seemed he would be a great preacher. But then suddenly, things seemed to go wrong in his Christian life. He got in with the wrong people. Things went wrong with his Christian life. I heard about it. I heard that he'd moved to London. I heard that he was working in a dreadful shop in Soho. So I was in London one day and I went to see him. I don't normally go to such places. But this was a rescue mission. went to see him in the shop and said, look, we're concerned about you and what you're doing just now. You once shone so brightly for the gospel. You're going to be a great preacher. But look at you now. He told me to get lost. I never met him again. Then we're talking about 1965 time when I went to see him in London. The year 2000, I was preaching at a service in Norwich. This fellow came to me afterwards and said, don't you recognize me? And I said, sorry, I don't. And he told me his name. And there's this guy. He'd been restored. Now he was serving the Lord in that church in the city of Norwich. He'd been wonderfully restored. You see, the smouldering candle, the smouldering light, the smouldering lamp, the Lord will not quench. He's grieved by it. All that black smoke coming out, he's grieved by it. But he will not quench the smouldering wick. Well, that's this wonderful statement in Matthew 12, verse 20, quoted from Isaiah. Our Lord is so different from the Pharisees. They are cruel. Our Lord is kind. They are legalistic. Our Lord is loving. They are miserable. He is merciful. Thank God for such a Savior. The bruised reed he will not break. The smouldering wick he'll not snuff out. That's why I'm a Christian. My life was once in a mess. But the Lord had mercy on me and took hold of me and saved me. That's why I'm still a Christian after all these years. Not because of any goodness in me, but because the smouldering wick he will not quench. There have been times when my light has grown a bit dim. I'm ashamed of that. But he didn't snuff me out. He restored me. That's the wonderful Savior that we love and adore. So if you're not a Christian, my friend, if you're concerned about your sin, if you're feeling ashamed of yourself for the things you've done, turn to him. He'll deal kindly with you. Plead with him to save you, and he will save you. If you are a Christian, my friend, then seek to be like the Savior. Seek to emulate him. Be kind and tender and compassionate to others. Do you see some burdened, troubled, bruised sinner beginning to seek the Lord? Be careful how you handle them. Don't be vicious. Be careful how you handle them. I remember just a short time after I was wonderfully converted, I was a new, young, fragile believer. And there was a woman nearby where I lived. She was a churchgoer, but very self-righteous. And she saw me one day, and she said to me, "Ah, Basil Howlett, you've become a Christian, have you? You want to be a preacher, do you?" Ah, she almost spat. "I remember what you were like. You become a Christian." And that hurt me dreadfully. That almost crushed me. Is there any hope for a man like me, I thought. But thank God there were other Christians who were very kind and very gentle and very gentle and dealt kindly with this new stumbling believer. So if you are a believer, be very kind. Be like the Savior. Don't deal harshly with people. If they've come to see their sin, praise God for that and gently lead them on. And if you see it, a Christian who's backsliding, don't rush in and condemn them. Try and gently lead them back to the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me close with this question. Well, I'll use the words of a hymn, another hymn. We won't sing this one, but with another one. Have you heard the voice of Jesus softly pleading with your heart? Have you felt his presence glorious as he calls your soul apart? With a love so true and loyal, love divine that ever flows from a Savior, righteous, royal, and a cross that mercy shows. Have you heard the voice of mercy, granting peace and pardon pure? Have you felt the balm of Calvary, binding all your wounds secure? Was there ever such salvation? Was there ever care like this? See the Savior's grief and passion, grace and mercy's gentle kiss. Have you heard the Savior calling, all to leave and follow him? Have you felt his presence drawing with compulsion, lives to win? Hearken to his invitation, to the music of God's grace. Let the peace of God's salvation fill your soul and love embrace. Our Savior will not crush the bruised reed. He will not quench the smoking candle. He'll be merciful and kind. Let us be like that if we're believers.